Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat, to grow into a wise, skilled, world-changing follower of Jesus Christ. With theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Degeneau, and your host, Steve Bastian.
We are here at the official Canadian UFO landing pad in St. Paul, Alberta, opened in 1967. It has tons of interesting things in the basement of this place called the UFO Data Center. It has photographs of UFOs, crop circles, there's some photographs of cattle mutilations, gross. And it's meant to be an educational exhibit to help the youth of today learn more about what's out there.
Hey, look at that great picture of Tommy Lee Jones up on the wall.
That's so weird. The landing pad is actually really, really small, so I'm hoping that any interstellar craft that come by will actually notice this place and have a very tiny ship. I have a question, though. Steve, why did you bring us here?
There's some history here. You know,
here?
Yes, there's here, and I wanted us to rehash our history together.
I've never been here. I'm looking forward to hearing how my life applies to this place.
I've had a long and storied history in St. Paul, Alberta.
Yeah, make sure you don't say St. Paul's. That's another place.
Oh. St. Paul. Is it in Alberta?
I can't remember.
I didn't even know there was a St. Paul, Alberta.
Well, it's our history here is when we were in college, second year of college, there was this really pathetic, lonely, rejected guy. And I took pity on him, and I invited him to come over to my friend Al's place and watch X-Files with us. And then Al and I poured all of our energy into building this guy up to be the man that he is today.
Young man, I remember that. Yeah. He came in. Yeah, I remember that. He looked small. He looked sheepish. He was a little afraid.
Yeah.
And we just put our arms around him. We put him under our wings.
And we built him up to be this man we call Chad that we have to put up with now.
Absolutely.
And
Worst mistake of our life.
It was a difficult time for me. I was so busy playing on the school hockey team and hanging out with the Schindler girls, and I just had nothing to really look forward to. But being able to come to the X-Files night at Elle's house.
Yeah, dragging you to Nerdfest at my house to watch X-Files clearly saved you from a lot of lascivious life.
Absolutely. So our friendship was kind of in some ways built on this entertaining TV show that we enjoyed and we talked about. And, you know, there's many nights we discussed college of theoretical things, from black holes to aliens. Ghosts even were brought up a few times, if I recall.
And so, proper grooming standards for beards.
It's absolutely true.
I learned that you can get split ends.
My favorite question we ever covered was, if you were traveling at the speed of light and you threw a baseball, what would happen? That, I believe, was my favorite question we ever covered.
I believe that was actually... Was that the one that ended up on the mirror that we used
the
Sharpies on?
Yeah, it ended up in the mirror. Yep, Sharpies on the mirror.
Because technically the baseball would go faster than the speed of light.
That's the question.
Which would violate the laws of physics.
Would it go back in time? Would it explode? Would all life cease to exist? Yes.
I think like the Omega 13, it would just move us backwards in time by 13 seconds.
Yeah, but there's one...
Oh, that's interesting.
There's a question we never finished answering, and I think it's important that we talk about it. Do ghosts and aliens exist?
That's really interesting that you bring that up and drive us all the way here to ask that question. Well, I'm really hoping
the town with the pierogi and the giant sausage. So we can go back there later and get some food. So,
is that Obi-Wan pierogi?
Okay, believe it or not, this is actually a very contemporary issue, and it's something that affects a lot more Christians and a lot more churches than perhaps some people realize. I personally know multiple people that legitimately believe and spend time thinking and talking about the paranormal and the supernatural.
Elle also knows many pastors who are actually aliens.
Oh, dude, the town I live in right now is just palm reader central, speaking to the dead, all kinds of other pagan practices. I just had a meeting with pastors today. We're talking about how do we get people out and what kind of events should we do and stuff. And the one guy said, all you got to do is get a palm reader. Everyone in Carlton Place will show up.
You know, without question. I don't know how anyone who's seen Joel Osteen could doubt.
Oh!
I know one person who teaches Sunday school in her church that practices Wicca on the side.
Oh.
So this is actually a real thing. So I've I've been asked all kinds of questions. I'm sure you guys have too. One time someone from my church asked me the right way to get rid of a Ouija board. I told him the right way is to throw it in the garbage. But he said, you know what? He's like, I really worried that it would release negative energy if he broke it. And so he heard from someone they had to sprinkle salt on it to neutralize its power. I know a dude someone wanted to plant blessed stones around his property to bring him good luck and ward off evil spirits and ghosts. I've personally known someone and walked through the house of someone who had crystal wands that were used for creating potions and spells and warned not to touch them because they could release something.
I keep my blessed guns with me to protect me from aliens and ghosts.
I just bring some bacon and rub it on everything. I'm good.
Rub some bacon on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, think about it. This stuff is everywhere. It's in movies. It's on TV. We're not just talking X-Files here, but Supernatural, Charmed, Ghost Whisperer, Vampire Diaries, Buffy. I mean, and a bunch more I've never heard of. And then there's reality shows like that call themselves documentaries. Paranormal Witness, The Haunted, The Dead Files, Ghost Hunter. And that's not even to mention all the alien encounter documentaries that are out there. It's a huge industry and a huge area of interest for people, both inside and outside the church. If you want to get a really good talk started, just bring up ghosts and aliens, and you will get people who staunchly defend both sides, even in church, and will likely know a friend of a friend who totally once saw one that one time. I've heard people drop Bible verses to defend their beliefs. They say that ghosts exist and we can speak to them, just like Saul did with the Witch of Endor, 1 Samuel 28. They say aliens exist and were visited Earth during the time when Ezekiel had his account of the spinning light wheels in the sky of Ezekiel 1, and that the Nephilim from Genesis 6 were actually alien visitors. I've heard people drop Bible verses on this. There is so much confusion out there about this. And I think that there's a bit of misinformation out there that has screwed up a lot of believers.
Oh, it's misinformation.
It is misinformation. That's all? I don't think it's true.
That's not much fun.
Yeah, I wanted the good stuff.
Chad, I think we got some people out there that really want to know about the stuff. They're very curious. I said to some people we were going to talk about this kind of thing eventually, and they were very excited. Very excited to hear about it. So we should drop some knowledge on them.
She can expound your knowledge.
So today we're speaking to the Star Trek fan club of Vulcan, Alberta, the chess club, and who else might be listening in today?
Everybody in their mother's basement.
I think we're speaking to where maybe some of us were back when we were teenagers.
Actually, you know what is fascinating about the topic?
No, not true.
No?
Yeah. I mean, people yeah, today, old people, yeah. Like people that are my age, older, yep. They believe this stuff.
No, and the SETI program is a demonstration that governments, at least to a certain degree, take this stuff seriously, whether it's just contingency plan. There are millions and billions of dollars being expended in attempting to figure out what's going on. Look at the Mars missions have been advertised as seeking life on Mars, looking for water and the bits that would give us life on Mars. And of course, all you had to do was watch Bugs Bunny and you would have been able to figure that out. But no, they got to fool around with sending all these extra rovers.
Yeah. Well, think of the question. Like, look, think how big the universe is. It's something we can't even understand. I mean, the biggest sun that we
Bugs Bunny had Marvin the Martian, just, you know.
Was it 2.7 quadrillion Earths can fit in the biggest sun that we know about? The universe is so massive. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, why couldn't God make another sentient race on another planet? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, now the belief in aliens is extremely akin to the belief in evolution. They're almost the same belief. For evolutionists, their trump card is time, distance, and chance. That's what they play. They got three cards, time, distance, and chance. If you get a big enough bowl and you mix in enough billions of years with enough trillions of miles and enough zillions of possibilities, then they believe nothing can become something, death can become life, simple can become intricate, and primordial slime can eventually learn how to make an iPhone. All you need is enough possibilities. The belief in aliens is very similar. Surely with enough years and miles and possibilities, there must be aliens. You just said it, Steve. Mm-hmm. That's a huge amount of assumptions, and there's no evidence that they're true at all. The best they can point out is some planets far away that potentially have the right distance from their sun in order to have the conditions that they could potentially spark evolution, and even those odds are infinitely low.
But then there's the Bible.
Yeah. So what does the Bible say? Because we on this show say the Bible is truth.
Now, there's an important thing to mark here. We have something called sola scriptura, but sola scriptura is not nuda scriptura. That is that we don't – no, that's a real thing, Al. We're not talking about the naked Bible. The idea is that the Bible is not the standalone answer to every conceivable question that there ever possibly can be. When we speak of sola scriptura, we're speaking of it as our only authoritative source from God, but it's not the only source of information. That is that, you know, we can stick a telescope into space and we can look for Steve's beard. And we might find it, we might not, but we're not going to find that by looking up Genesis 15. But there are things that are spoken of in the Bible, and when they are spoken of, they are authoritative pronouncements. Mm-hmm. And so when we speak of the origin of the universe, you know, logically we know that it had to have a beginning. Scripturally, we know that we have an explanation for what that beginning looked like. And part of the explanation for that beginning is an explanation for all of the amazing expanse that we just talked about. And it's absolutely critical to realize that. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that on the fourth day, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heaven to give light upon the earth." Now, we know the earth isn't the physical center of the universe, but we do know that earth is the moral center of the universe. That is, the reason the universe exists is for earth. So when we look at the stars, when we look at that, we're not actually looking at a vast potential area where God could have conceivably made many multiple sentient beings, because of course he could have, should he have wanted to. But he's explicitly told us that the vastness of the universe is explicitly given to give light on the earth and for signs and for seasons, and through other texts we'll find that it is to display his glory to us. In other words, we'll look at that massiveness and say, this is huge, not so there must be aliens, but this is huge, so how great is God? So that's a little bit of a foundation just to the idea that the main idea that even Christians would use, oh, it's so big, and oh, can't God? Yeah, God can, and yeah, it is so big, but we're thinking wrongly when we do that.
Well, and man is this unique creation in the universe, a special creation of God, unlike any other creature. Sure, they can go find moss on Mars if they want to, but that's not man. You know what I mean? We're his creation. We're the people that sinned. We're the people that he redeemed from sin.
Yes.
Right? And that, it makes us special. So, like, I mean, even the philosophical questions that come out when it comes to this alien thing, like, did the fall of in the Garden of Eden on Earth apply to alien worlds? Like, does that, when you start processing that, you know, or does the universality of sin stop at the boundaries of our galaxy? Would Jesus have to die on every individual planet so to save them from their sin? Does human death?
Well, according to the Book of Mormon, he did have to come and visit North America. So, I mean, conceivably, he was popping up everywhere.
Well, does the human death of Jesus apply to aliens? Like, all these questions, while very interesting, are ridiculous on their face. Yeah. They really are.
Well, we know that sin, that would be another great argument, Al. Sin does affect the whole universe. We're told the entirety of the universe is falling apart, not just human life on Earth. And so, again, there's that's the moral center of the universe that we find here.
But the existence of a creature out there that actually is a moral, sentient, choosing creature that has their own Eden, there's the issue.
Right. Well, I would say that's not possible based on the biblical text.
I completely agree with that. All right, so you want to talk ghosts now?
So, moving on. Say, wait a minute. No. If we're just... Now, I want to back that up one more step. I was explaining that the evolutionary worldview argument for aliens couldn't be defended by Scripture. But I think the Scripture is patently clear that there are multitudes of aliens, extraterrestrial life forms, who come and visit Earth, who influence our governments, and run secret cabals. And the Bible labels them. They're called angels and demons. They live in another realm. They come and visit us. We're told that some have entertained angels unawares. We're told in the book of Daniel that there are certain powers that have come and influenced governments to do what they want them to do. And so all the smoking man in the back room stuff that we remember from X-Files, it's all true. It's just that it fits in a different way into biblical spirituality and not within the evolutionary philosophical framework.
Exactly. I think I really appreciate that it all comes down to the fact that people are gullible. and they're fools who want people to tell them what they already believe. Remember the poster on the wall in the X-Files was, I want to believe. And the whole idea is that that's what people want. I want to believe on anything that lets me sin.
I have faith to believe.
Yeah, Satan is this genius liar who will do anything, absolutely anything, to distract people from the truth and help them sin. And ghosts and aliens are this masterful plot. As usual, his tactic is not to try to convince people there's no afterlife. He's not out there trying to build atheists. That's actually really, really hard. Instead, he mixes the lie with of supernaturalism and pagan practices and aliens and ghosts and stuff, and he gets people to think in death, but to think about afterlife, and not so much as a ticking clock, but as this new portal to form new human existence based on our rules, our ideas, our desires. Like, it's an absolute trick of Satan to do that.
It's fascinating when we think of that, too. We're told that Satan, you know, he doesn't really... we know his devices. We're aware of them. He's sort of been doing the same thing because it works. But I find it fascinating from a historical perspective. Humans have always believed in extraterrestrial beings. The planets of our solar system are named for those whom the ancients would have called gods, but who were beings that were like humans but not humans and lived in another realm. And they might come and visit Earth and so forth. But I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. The Bible presents a picture of creation. God creates the universe as an undiluted form of sort of chaotic waters, and then he begins to form and shape it. If you read all of the ancient myths, there's always some sort of primordial soup from which life arises. There, generally speaking, is the idea that there are other beings called the gods, generally, who rise up and have great power, who fight wars, and then who come to Earth and begin to manipulate and shape things on Earth and try to attract worshippers on Earth. That's really the pattern that we see happening. And this the great myth, the great story, and you find it through all of the great epics, is that there are the first gods, the creators, or the first god, the creator, who has children, and some of those children rise up against him and kill him and take his throne. So, for instance, Cronos was the creator of this universe in the Greek mythology, and Zeus rose up and killed him and took his throne. Now, can we think of any, I don't know, son of god who would come up in the primordial soup period and then who would raise up a rebellion in heaven with the intention of supplanting the creator god and sitting on his throne? Is there anyone we could think of that might see this as a great... And so this is the kind of thing we seem to see over and over and over, and it's done with...
And over and over and over and over and over. Really, like...
Throughout history.
To the point where you actually hear people argue that clearly the Bible can't be true because other people have the same story.
Or there's some truth to them.
Like, what?
So I think the alien myths of today are simply the mythos of our culture that fits that identical pattern that we've seen over and over and over and over and over. It's probably rooted in some form of reality, and it's manipulated and twisted by Satan.
There's one thing we learn from the story of King Saul and the Witch of Endor, is that when people are desperate and living through their darkest hours, they'll do anything to get answers to problems. Mm. And if God's not answering... Go read it. If God's not answering, they'll go to demons to do it. And they'll believe anything. In doing so, Saul committed a capital offense. Yep. God killed him 24 hours later. Like, honestly, we want to think that old Granny Smith is watching over us so we can talk to her and hear her and all of our problems. And Satan's happy to let us do that so we won't talk to God. Mm-hmm. We want...
Or benevolent aliens.
Yeah,
or...
we want aliens to exist so that we don't think we're alone, that the Bible's ignorant, that so people can come down and give us solutions to our problems through technology. Honestly, like, that's... We want to believe it.
So are there ghosts, Al?
Are there ghosts?
So I worked several summers in a building that was part of the Alberta Ghost Tours, the books written up about it. And I worked there for several summers. And I never had an experience at all.
Well, that proves it!
Great story, Steve. Great story.
Oh, but my coworkers always were freaked out. And they eventually, by the end of two summers of working there, they wanted to take shifts with me because... things didn't happen when Steve was there. And I always thought that was really weird. And I tried to always take it into a testimony point of view. Is, you know, well, maybe, you know, I always kind of thought maybe it's demonic. I don't know. But I kind of want to put that to you guys. Is there any legitimacy in things like that?
Yeah, Chad, have you ever put your faith in Steve just to save you from the demonic realms?
I frequently, in fact, why I do this podcast is this is my once a week fix with the Savior.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually claimed his name in power.
Oh.
During power encounters.
I do find it fascinating. I mean, like, it's really easy to make fun of some of these topics, but there are people who have had some pretty significant and pretty frightening experiences. And just to reference again what Al referenced with the Witch of Endor. Now, the Witch of Endor, that is not where the Ewoks live.
Absolutely.
Nor is this a reference to a Shakespearean play. This is part of the Bible's narrative, which you find in 1 Samuel chapter 28. This is at the end of Saul's reign after he's been rejected by God, and shortly after the death of the prophet Samuel. The Philistines are coming to take Saul's kingdom away, and he's terrified, and he goes out in order to try and find a way to get direction from God. God won't talk to him, and so he goes in and he tries to find Samuel to speak to him by going to a necromancer who calls forth the dead. What I find fascinating in that account is that when the witch calls forth Samuel, she describes seeing in the Hebrew text an Elohim, a god rising out of the earth. And it says that she screams in terror. Mm-hmm. The indication there is this is not an ordinary experience for her. So either she's a fraud and she never sees anything.
Right.
Or
her mystical mumbo-jumbo stuff never actually worked. And then all of a sudden she's like, ah! Right. What happened?
That's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever happened. But the point being, something supernatural happened in that account. And there are debates with the theologians about what exactly it is. Whatever happened, it was a true supernatural event. And it scared the bejesus out of her.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And there are true supernatural events that are happening. Yep. I think what we always got to be careful of is to make sure we answer our questions by saying, this is my experience, so now I'm going to make the Bible conform to it. But rather, here's the way the Bible presents the world, and now I'm going to interpret the world through it. So I have an experience in the Creepy Steve house. How do I interpret that experience? Are there random ghosts running around and so forth? And now I got to go to a biblical worldview to answer.
Well, I feel fairly convicted that I'm not being very gracious in this. Because for me, this is, you know, I know enough to know that this is garbage. But there are people out there who legit believe this stuff. And I mean, their literal faith is in these supernatural and crystals and rocks and salt. And I mean, they believe in ghosts. And for them, there's demonic activity around them that is absolutely convincing them and fooling them and manipulating them. And they're trapped in it. And they really are. They don't want to get out. They don't know how to get out. And for them, that's reality. So I feel convicted that I should probably give these people a bit more grace, but it's so ridiculous on its face, because Satan is a liar and they're being fooled, and you want to just scream out and shake them. You're being lied to. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you living as though this is the truth? You know,
I'm a people person. What's wrong with you people?
That's right. Now, that being said, I honestly believe a lot of these people who put their faith in ghosts and trees and rocks and aliens and stuff are more than happily to exchange the truth of God for a lie so they can keep sinning. And Satan's happy to furnish them with whatever fantasy they want to believe so they'll keep on sinning and refuse to turn to God. Like, honestly, I do believe that.
So what's your opinion? I'm just curious. It doesn't really matter if it's right or wrong. I mean, I'm sure it does in the big picture, but, you know, is it possible for communication to happen with true ghosts, by the definition of that meaning the spirit of a departed real human being, or is this sham trickery by demonic powers?
No!
What do you think?
Okay, listen. Okay, ready? I'm going to drop you some Bible knowledge on your head. Are you ready?
Bible! Okay. It's Bible time!
Here's the problem, okay? This is a problem with everybody. The disciples got this wrong. When Jesus comes wandering on the water, what do they scream out? It's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
Okay, this is a problem. Okay, ready? God says in Scripture, man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Hebrews chapter 9. A person's days are determined. That's Job. All the days are ordained for us are written in God's book. That's Job. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he goes down to the grave, does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. So Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You don't get second chances. There is no unfinished business we need to come back to deal with. God does not make mistakes. God does not take people at the wrong time. He never needs to send anybody back. No one gets promoted to guardian angel, fairy godmother, ghost, so they can keep watch over their family.
Wait. But can't Steve be one of those?
No!
I really want Steve to be like guardian angel, fairy godmother, ghost.
I don't want to die before you that far.
And I will say this, Chad. If you believe hard enough and you want that hard enough, I guarantee there's a demon out there that will grant your wish.
Steve's gonna die.
Well, not kill Steve. No, okay, did I just wish Steve dead? I don't think so.
I think you both did. I know you try often, but...
My point is, though, that there will be some demon out there that's like, you want to have faith in Steve? You want to put your hope in Steve? Go ahead. But man is destined to die once. You get it right now. This is your only chance. No one escapes God's judgment. No one escapes heaven or hell. They cannot come back to have conversations. Psalm 146, well, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day, his plans perish. Done.
So I certainly agree with you. Of course, that would be the general pattern of expectation. But then we do have Lazarus. We do have the saints that rose at Christ's crucifixion.
They weren't ghosts. They had bodies.
They were resurrected. Then we do have Jesus when he appears to live and says, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet been glorified."
Who is the firstborn among all believers who went to show us what the next form looks like? Yeah. Okay.
But at that point he possibly was not, because he was not yet ascended. And so there's all kinds of interesting questions around some of these things. But, well, the point being, those verses say there's no coming back, except these people all came back, although albeit not in a ghosty form.
No ghosty form.
We do have the Witch of Endor account, which appears to bring Samuel back. Like I said, there's great debate on that, but at least that window is open there. So I don't think this is a question that we can fully answer here, except to say what Al said is generally speaking correct. The Bible makes it plain that there is no pattern of ghostiness. So the Ghostbusters worldview of ghosts is simply not real. Yeah. The idea of wandering spirits, of intermediate spirits, is simply untrue. Might there be some strange, one-off, unique events? Possibly, based on some of those things that I was bringing up there. But we shouldn't expect those, look to those, anticipate those.
No,
interpret the weird one-off events, we shouldn't be interpreting them as being some great spiritual insight, because they're not designed to be that way.
Also, they're a huge warning, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Saul got killed. Okay, that whole story is, Saul is so wrong. He's unbelievably wrong in every step of the way. He invokes the Lord's name as a promise, saying he wasn't who himself. Like, honestly, everything about what he was doing was wrong, yes. And that's the whole point of that story.
Which is where I wanted to bring it around to.
Yeah.
Was, if we have any ability to have these one-offs and these strange things happen, we shouldn't seek them, because the Bible says it's evil.
Yeah.
Dude. There, that was the wrap up of my speech.
But
that
that's the dangerous
but I
thing.
The way Al said it better.
Yeah, but you're opening. You see, the thing is, I don't want you in any way to take Chad and say, okay, these sometimes have a one off thing, and maybe it'll happen to you. Because I see people grab that and they just go running with it. Maybe it's me, and maybe I'll get that. Like, the lottery exists, and because nobody knows how to do math.
But that's the fact is that somebody might have a real supernatural experience, and I don't want them to think that it's impossible that that might happen. However, I want them to analyze it and interpret it correctly.
Great.
First of all, it's probably not a supernatural experience, because they're extraordinarily rare. Second, if it is, you shouldn't seek any sort of guidance or anything out of it. Move away from it. Go back to Scripture. That's what we're told to do. To appeal to the undead realm, to the demonic realm, all of that is both evil and foolish, and the Bible strictly says it's sin. And so, while we might acknowledge the possibility of the odd thing happening, just back away. Don't worry about it. It's not going to help you. It's not going to be to your benefit, because you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You have all that you need for life and godliness through the Scriptures. And when we think about that, we want to get our answers, we want to form our life. If you get an answer from one of these supernatural experiences, you have no idea. Is that a demon trying to deceive you? Is that your own mind flipping out on you? Is that perhaps in some way somebody has come from the dead? What's their motivation? Why are they there? How did they get there? Who's controlling them? You have no idea, but you know the Scriptures are true. And that's where you're going to find any answer of any relevance to any of these great questions that we have.
Yep.
And we need to flee away from the other stuff. If you are scared, though, because you've had some kind of experience, talk to your pastor, pray, trust the Lord.
Yeah.
That's where you need to go with these kind of things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. There's two teams, okay, folks? Two teams. Team Jesus, Team Satan. And they're all fighting.
Yeah. There's no Switzerland in the spiritual realm.
There's no Switzerland. There you go. I'm getting that on a t-shirt.
Hey, Al, what's that? What's that? Do you see a shimmering behind Steve over there?
Oh, man.
It looks like it's kind of a strange shape. It looks like...
What is
whoa,
that?
It looks like... Steve, is that something reaching up behind your back to grab
Steve.
You?
Steve!
Let's get out of here. Steve, I don't know what's going on, but Steve's gone.
Steve's rum starts to sparkle. I'm out of here. Bye, Steve.
See ya.
Leave him behind. Go.
I think Steve was kidnapped by aliens.
To find out more about carnivore theology, or if you've got any topics or questions you'd like us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting our website, www.carnivoretheology.com. You can also leave a message on our SpeakPipe page. That's at www.speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please share with your church and friends. Like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Yeah. So what does the Bible say? Because we on this show say the Bible is truth. Scripture's so solera, right? That's
I'm not sure what scriptura.
Thank you. That's why I didn't become a pastor.
I think you just worshiped the sun.
Oh, yes. I might have.
Wait, so this one's not about aliens, this one's about ghosts.
I'm making a transition, okay, we're at 20 minutes, okay. So there's this one in it's called the Witch of Endor, and he's in this dark, dark place.
Oh, there's something behind you.
No, there's not.
Be very scared, little boy!
Elle's crying. Okay, just so weird. Let's give Elle a little hug and tell him it's going to be okay.
Leave me alone.
Tales of give suspense. That's what I'm worried about here.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually claimed his name in power.
Oh,
during power encounters.
I hope that's not on the when you're on the toilet, man. that's probably the only place. It's the only place is appropriate.
That's what Elle calls a power encounter.
We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church, not one that has necromancers, and keep your eyes on the cross.
Giveaway. Dead giveaway.
That's a dead giveaway. Yep.
Bad church.